Mr. Vice President, distinguished guests, fellow delegates, I'm delighted to be here at our 42nd annual Alliance Party Conference and to see so many of you, both new faces and old, with us here today in Le Mans. Annual conferences are milestones on our party journey, providing us with an opportunity both to reflect on the year that has passed and also to look forward to the year that lies ahead, measuring what we've delivered in the past year and identifying where the opportunities for further progress lie. At our last conference, I was less than a year into my term as a Member of Parliament for East Belfast. By then, I had already delivered on our pre-election commitment to end double jobbing between the Assembly and Westminster. We're now 1 year on and another Assembly election from that point. And yet many who also indicated opposition to that practice pre-election have yet to follow through on their commitment. Their voting record in Westminster tells its own story. Throughout the last year in Westminster, we've been dealing with issues which will have a profound effect on our constituents, whether it's how we can reduce the deficit while stimulating economic growth, or how we can address fairly and equitably the pensions challenge emerging in the light of increasing life expectancy. The government's welfare reforms will also have far-reaching and negative consequences for our people here in Northern Ireland. And the Assembly will have only limited flexibility to change what has been decided at Westminster. In that context, I think the people of Northern Ireland deserve full-time MPs who are focused on the job of holding the government to account and representing Northern Ireland's best interests in Parliament. Rather than wait for promised legislation to end dual mandates, we have led by example. I also had the opportunity in December to lead a debate on the importance of East-West cooperation as we approach a decade of centenaries of contentious events in our shared history, an area with which colleagues and I have been dealing both in councils and in the Assembly for some time. The period between 1912 and 1922 was one of considerable change and turmoil, which shaped not only Northern Ireland, but also our relationships within and between these islands. Sadly, the divisions that were evident during that period also remain largely the basis of the divisions in modern Northern Irish society today. Therefore, the manner in which we publicly mark those historic events, which remain both sensitive and emotive, is hugely important to preserving current stability and, perhaps more importantly, building a peaceful, stable and shared future going forward. Handled well, the coming decade has the potential to allow us to explore our past together, aiding understanding through education and discussion, helping us to learn from our past, and to look to how we can create and shape stronger and better relationships and enhance community relations. By contrast, if handled poorly, it has the potential to be a highly charged and fractious period, marked by deepening antagonism and division within society, reinforcing century-old divisions, rather than focusing on future progress. By recognising respectfully our shared and often difficult history, but refusing to be captives to it, we can use this time as a watershed transition between our divided past and our shared future. The East-West dimension was important in the history of that period, and it remains important if we are successfully to explore and commemorate that period in the years ahead and develop as a country. Following that debate and the discussions which preceded it and followed it, the Taoiseach, when visiting Westminster on St Patrick's Day, took time with the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the local MPs to visit an exhibition on the Third Home Rule Bill in Westminster Hall. All those of us who were present at the dinner last night heard from the Taoiseach that the work between the Irish and the British governments on that issue is ongoing. However, it's not just on historic events, but also our more recent troubled past, which I've been addressing with government in Westminster, seeking a comprehensive process to address the past and its legacy in a manner which can deliver a more united and reconciled future for us all. The round of bilateral talks in which the Secretary of State has been engaged over recent months are as a direct result of our pressure for action in Westminster and also in the Assembly. However, there would appear to be little enthusiasm on his part for further engagement. He is, of course, correct. There is currently a lack of consensus amongst local parties as to the mechanisms via which this can be addressed holistically. However, this can be no excuse for lack of effort to achieve consensus. Had lack of agreement prevented us engaging before, we would never have achieved any political progress at all. I would renew what is not just my call, but through an alliance motion passed unanimously, also the call of the Assembly to the Secretary of State to reconvene all party talks to seek a comprehensive way forward. Most recently this week, I also had the opportunity to raise the issue of transparency in party political funding in Northern Ireland with the Prime Minister for a second time in Prime Minister's questions. I think he was just relieved I didn't ask about dinners. Last year, I pressed him to remove the exemption, which means that whilst local parties have to make the same financial returns to the Electoral Commission as parties in the rest of the UK, the names of donors who give over £7,500 remain unpublished in Northern Ireland. I understand the reasons why this may have been necessary in the past. However, the security situation here has improved significantly, and whilst risk can never be entirely eliminated, it should not outweigh the right of the Northern Ireland public to be able to openly scrutinise the finances of local parties, to see who their major donors are, and to judge for themselves whether parties are influenced by those donations. It is not credible for local parties on one hand to argue that Northern Ireland is a safe and attractive destination for tourism and inward investment, whilst on the other hand arguing that the security situation is so perilous that it prevents normal democratic scrutiny. When the government failed to remove the exemption at the last opportunity, Alliance committed to publishing in line with the rest of the UK from this year on a voluntary basis, and we have delivered on that promise. On Wednesday, at Prime Minister's questions, I had the opportunity not only to press for that legislative change, but also for the Prime Minister to commit on behalf of the Conservatives in Northern Ireland to follow our lead and voluntarily publish their donor list. Whilst commending us on showing leadership on the issue, he didn't actually commit to do either. But we'll keep pressing on that change. We may even be joined by some opposition MPs whose ears pricked up when they realised this loophole in funding disclosure. So whether we're working to see our society transformed or to make politics more open and accountable, we should never be willing to sit back and wait for others to deliver. We have always, right from our inception, taken the initiative and led change, delivering where it is in our power to do so and challenging others to follow. Sadly, since our last conference, a number of very significant people who did just that have passed away. I know that David will also want in his remarks to reflect on their contribution to the party. But given their links to my constituency of East Belfast, I want to take a few moments this morning to pay tribute to Sir Oliver Napier and to Addy Morrow. Sir Oliver was not only one of the party founders, he was also co-leader from 1970 to 72, going on to be the sole leader from 73 to 84. In 1979, he came within a whisker of winning the East Belfast Westminster seat, which I now hold. And I know that he was delighted to have witnessed that victory in 2010 and to see his ambition for the constituency of East Belfast and for the party finally realised. At a time when vision and optimism were in short supply, he and a small number of other people, some of whom are here with us today in this room, laid the foundations for this party which, even amid the worst of the troubles, strove to persuade our community to renounce tribal hatreds and work together for a better future. Despite the enormity of that task, he was nevertheless dedicated to spending time with the people he represented, who needed his help, his advice, and his advocacy. He was someone I admired hugely and who encouraged me greatly. A person who spoke his mind with both courage and compassion, who was committed to building a united community, and who, to the very end, had a huge affection and passion for East Belfast and its people. Sadly, only weeks ago, Addy Morrow also passed away after an illness. Addy was also an early member of Alliance and was elected to Castlereagh Borough Council in 1973, where he served for 16 years. Those who serve in that council today would describe it as, well, let's just say, a challenging environment for the sake of politeness. However, during the time when Addy served in Castlereagh, through the turbulent period surrounding the Anglo-Irish Agreement, I'm not sure there is a polite euphemism which could do justice to the treatment to which he and Alliance colleagues were subjected. During that time, he was also elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly for East Belfast and served as deputy leader of the party, as well as later as vice chair, chair and president, never afraid to put his head above the parapet. Despite the personal risks to him and his family, he not only stood up to those who attempted to threaten and to bully both him and other people, he also delivered real change, playing a crucial role in the foundation of Lygon College, the first integrated school in Northern Ireland. It is hard to comprehend the fierceness of the opposition which the prospect of educating children together elicited at that time. It is even harder to comprehend when some of his fiercest critics in that endeavour now talk about shared education as though it is some novel concept which they have discovered. Addy was not just about a shared future. For him, it was about living out a shared present. Whether through his work in politics or his heavy involvement in Corrymeela, he was the embodiment of what it is to live life without barriers. I remember, as a relatively new member of the party, the open welcome that Michael and I received at his home for our Castlereagh Association meetings. And I will always be grateful to him for the constant encouragement which he offered those of us who were merely following where he led. I also want to remember Alderman Tony Hill, who passed away recently. Tony was Mayor of North Down at the same time I was Lord Mayor of Belfast, and we got to know each other very well during that period as our paths regularly crossed at the various events and functions we attended. He was someone who worked very diligently for his constituents. He was fiercely committed to Alliance, and he was completely blind to the divisions in our community in his service to it. When he passed away, I asked where his funeral was, and I was told his church in Bangor. Despite knowing Tony and working with him as a party colleague, I had to ask which church. I simply had never felt the need to ask or to speculate about it. Sir Oliver was quoted as having said once, "In political terms, I'm an Ulsterman, and in that context, I don't think my religion or that of anybody else is relevant." It's reassuring to know that spirit is thriving in this party today. Of all the tributes we could pay to Oliver and Addy, perhaps the one which is most fitting and which would have mattered most to them is that as we canvassed East Belfast and Castlereagh in May's elections last year, long after they had stepped down from the front line in politics, many people still recalled the work which they had done on their behalf, the dedicated and selfless service they'd given. And I know Tony's work was equally appreciated and valued by his constituents and his colleagues in North Down. In the words of Neil Rafferty, which were printed on the Order of Service for Addy's Thanksgiving, "The importance of life is what you give, and the good that is given freely will endure." The last year has also seen a change of the guard in the Assembly team. Sean Neeson, I'm not sure if Sean is here with us today, I can't see him with the lights, Sean stood down from the Assembly after 14 years, a period during which he served as party leader and then as our spokesperson for enterprise, trade and investment. And he found a very able replacement and did us a great service in being replaced by Stuart Dixon. Sean was one of the most experienced members of our Assembly team, having served in the 1982 Assembly and as one of our key negotiators throughout the 1990s, including the talks that led up to the Good Friday Agreement. He also gave me my first political post when he appointed me as an unelected member on his Leader Strategic Review Group in 1999, and that encouraged me to get more involved, but I'm sure we won't hold that against him. I want to thank Sean for his work in the Assembly and in Carrickfergus Borough Council, where he has represented Alliance faithfully since 1977 and continues to do so today. I wish him many more years in Carrickfergus. In reflecting of the contribution of those and others to the party in the run-up to conference, I was reminded of the words of Sir Isaac Newton, who wrote of his own achievements in a letter to a fellow scientist, Robert Hooke. "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." Conference, I want to pay tribute to those giants on whose shoulders this party stands. People who, when it was neither popular nor comfortable, laid the foundations for alliance, lifting us up and enabling us to see beyond the bigotry, beyond the entrenched divisions in our society, beyond the age-old enmity and bitterness, beyond the dark and violent days of the worst of the Troubles, to the potential for a very different, more peaceful and more shared future, which could lie just ahead if people were willing to embrace it. They laid the foundations, but delivery of that transformation is now our responsibility. I want to share with you something that I said at conference last year. If 2011 is to deliver all that it promises, we need to be ready to make bold decisions, to take risks, to make sacrifices, to seize the opportunity, and most of all, to focus on the next achievement and not on the last. 2010 was a great year, and it has given us a strong foundation on which to build for the future, a shared future. More members, more councillors, more assembly members will mean more opportunities to make progress on building the peaceful, prosperous and united community we all want to see realised. Conference, we have delivered on those targets set out last year. We have delivered growth in our membership. Alliance has grown and continues to grow, with more people wanting not just to see change, but to be change in Northern Ireland. That growth is why we're here in this new and much larger venue for our annual conference. We have delivered more councillors. 50% more Alliance councillors are now serving in local government than when I addressed you last year, and with that wider geographical spread than before. We have delivered a bigger assembly team. My desire, as I expressed it last year, was that Judith Cochrane's employment as my office manager would be short-lived, but only because I wanted her elected to the assembly, and that was realised too. But more than that, we also delivered a 50% increase in our share of the vote across Northern Ireland in last May's election, as people recognised in increasing numbers that voting Alliance and joining Alliance are good ways to give substance to their aspirations for a different kind of future and a different kind of politics. That, by any measure, is delivery. However, we set those targets not that they would become an end in themselves, but because of the new opportunities that delivering them would open up for us to deliver the shared future, which remains our prime motivation. Those achievements, important as they are, should be viewed only as a foundation on which we can build for this party and, more importantly, for our community going forward. Our new members are not just statistics to be measured against a target. You are the foundation upon which we can further develop Alliance in the months ahead. You are the feet on the street supporting the activity of our elected representatives. You are the activists in your neighbourhood shaping change and working voluntarily with others to build community. You are the people whose subscriptions and fundraising pay for our party activity, and you are the pool of talent from which we will draw innovative ideas, fresh thinking and future elected representatives. Our additional councillors elected in more councils than before represent a real opportunity for us to demonstrate across more of Northern Ireland not only that voting Alliance can deliver change in who represents you, but also very practically what that change can deliver in a community as we work out our Alliance principles and priorities in those local situations. Our larger Assembly team, coupled as it was with significant growth in our vote right across Northern Ireland, delivered an additional Alliance Minister in the Executive. That too has brought with it significant opportunity. You've already heard Stephen speak this morning about his work in the Department of Employment and Learning and what he has achieved in a relatively short space of time. Delivering the skills that will grow our economy, delivering the training to get people work ready, delivering the support to move those furthest from work closer to employment. Crucially, in all that he does, he has focused on delivering on a shared future, because he recognises, as I do, that division inhibits growth, limits opportunity, restricts access, and ultimately prevents both individuals and the community reaching their full potential. He has shown himself to be a gifted, dedicated and effective member of the Executive. At that Executive, he has joined David, who has continued to make a genuine difference to how the Department of Justice approaches the challenges it faces. Last year, I commended David on his response to interface problems, how it was to invest in building relationships between people rather than barriers. We have seen over the past year how that investment is bearing fruit. Communities who want to move forward together, who see their future as shared and not segregated, now have the support of a Justice Minister who is willing to work with them to help realise those aspirations. Together, David and Stephen are delivering real change for Northern Ireland. And both by what they do and the positive and constructive way that they do it, They are demonstrating the tangible outworkings of Alliance principles and policies for Northern Ireland. However, if you're still in any doubt, conference, as to what a significant opportunity their presence and effectiveness in government represents for Alliance, you need look no farther than the extraordinary and rather shameless lengths to which our opponents are willing to go to remove Stephen from that executive. Yeah. Be under no illusions, conference. The culling of the Department of Employment and Learning and the fact that Stephen is the minister for that department is not an unfortunate coincidence. This process is not about rationalisation. Rational doesn't come into it. On the supposed reasons behind these moves, reducing the number of departments and ensuring proportionality, we have put sensible and workable proposals forward which address those substantive issues. They would also deliver both coherence and good governance, but they have been rejected because coherence and good governance is not the objective. The objective is about robbing not the Alliance Party, but our voters of the seat which they gave us as of right after the last elections. Let's be clear, if properly thought through reform removed our entitlement to an executive position, but gained in return more efficient government for the people we represent, I would be happy to accept that. Indeed, more than just accept it, we could actively advocate for it. However, this is nothing other than cynical, politically motivated manoeuvres to reduce our influence. However, those who think that Alliance can be prevented from delivering simply by lifting the bar higher clearly don't appreciate our determination and skill when it comes to overcoming all barriers. Throughout this speech, I've talked about foundations, but in these last few moments, I just want you to lift your eyes and remember that for us in Alliance, foundations are vital, but just as importantly, there are no ceilings. There are no ceilings to our ambitions for this party. We delivered what we set out to do last May and came within 50 votes in North Down and East Antrim of two more Assembly seats. We increased our vote on a number of other places, putting us in serious contention for further growth at Council and Assembly next time around. If we put in the effort, make the sacrifices, take the courageous decisions, and hold that bold vision which is at the core of Alliance, and if we remain focused always on our next achievement and not on our last, then greater success is within our reach. There are no ceilings either to our ambitions for Northern Ireland. Alliance wants to build an entrepreneurial, enterprising culture in which we equip our young people with the skills they need to be competitive and support growth of both local business and foreign investment. I've had the privilege as MP for East Belfast of being involved in many of the centenary events, celebrating the engineering triumph that was the Titanic and commemorating the tragedy that was her maiden voyage. For me, in celebrating our industrial heritage and prowess in East Belfast, it was important not merely to reflect on past glory, but to use that opportunity to inspire a new generation of people that they too can compete successfully on the world stage, and to restore hope and confidence that hard work, ingenuity and skill are still the keys to unlock that success. So no ceilings for our ambitions for Alliance, no ceilings for our ambitions for Northern Ireland. But most of all, there are no ceilings to our ambitions for a shared future. The current politics of carve-up, however cosy that carve-up may be, is still at its core predicated on the continuing existence and maintenance of two communities, separate but equal. That is not and it can never be a substitute for our vision of a truly shared, truly united community. In Alliance, we exist to deliver that more peaceful, prosperous and united community. Whilst others are content to smile for the cameras and merely talk the talk, we will continue in this party to seek substantive change and walk the walk, leaving them to follow where we lead. We have delivered much in the last year. The foundations are there for our future success. Whilst others continue to debate whether success would be easier won in government or in opposition, we know the truth. Success depends not on the position in which you find yourself, but in what you do with it, and it's never easily won. Yeah. alliance grew in opposition, we have sustained that growth in government. Our ambitions for the future will be delivered not by maintaining our position, but by maintaining our consistency of vision, our unity of purpose, and our strength of leadership as we go forward in the year ahead. And so, Conference, it just remains for me to introduce the person who will take us forward in that consistency, unity, and strength. Please welcome to the podium our party leader, Mr. David Ford.